Bye. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. नमस्ते शारिष्यते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी श्री भगवता हरे कृष्ण आई एम हैप्पी टू सी यू ऑल हियर टुडे एंड यू सी दैट हाउ राधनेश इज moving. So we do devotee. How many of you are in this college? Some here in the college. How many of you are studying here? Or is it vacation time? Okay. How many of you are for the kirtan seminar? And how you are enjoying your kirtan participation? You all are enjoying it here? Are you enjoying the wonderful atmosphere? And are you developing an attachment to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Gopinath? So I was told to speak about the holy name before we go into the main topic of discussion today. Holy name. So these two words themselves clarify what a holy name. Whose name is holy? Krishna's name. The name of the Supreme Personality of God is holy. Our names are not holy. And the name indicates a person. So who this person, holy name, is indicating? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we say the name, then it naturally indicates somebody. And there we have to understand who are we actually addressing in the chant. That is a consideration of knowing the person, understanding the person, and developing a relationship with the person. Sambandha. Relationship. The name is in relation to whom? Krishna, sometimes in India, Krishna is a quite popular name. You even come across, you know, Krishna Lodge, Krishna Rice Mill, Krishna Hotel. I want to speak of, so many people have names Krishna. But when we say Krishna, do we indicate that person, those in relation to those factors? So our understanding should be very clear that when we say Krishna, it's indicating the Supreme Personality. In this respect, we can consider there is a very... You see, Vedas are very scientific. Vedas means knowledge. And the knowledge is real. Knowledge is scientific. Knowledge can be experimentally verified. Real knowledge. So Vedas are dealing with real scientific knowledge. Say, for example, Vedas are considering that there are two types of sounds. Meaningless sound and meaningful sound. Doesn't convey any meaning? Or you can sometimes say blah blah blah. In some language it may mean something, but generally in English it doesn't mean anything. So these are meaningless sounds. So many sounds are there, like, that do not convey any meaning. But there are some other sounds that are meaningful sounds. For example, the moment we hear the sound water, what happens? We get the impression of an object. When you say Vidya Chaitanya Prabhu, we recognize the person. When you say Chaturi Petit Song, so these are meaningful sounds. Water, floor, wall, doors, flower vase, painting. But these sounds actually convey the meaning or identify objects of this material nature. But there are some other sounds that come from another world. Is there another world beyond this material nature?
Yes.
How many of you believe that there is another world? Thank you. So some sounds actually come from there. And those sounds, vibration, those sound vibration identify the objects of that world. And those sounds are called mantra. The mantras are not the sound vibration of this material world. The mantras are the sound vibration from the spiritual world in revealing the spiritual world. And among all the objects of the spiritual world, which is the topmost object of the spiritual world? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the sound that reveals the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Mahamantra. Mantras reveal the objects of the spiritual reality, but Mahamantra reveals the supreme object of the spiritual reality. Like for example, who are the supreme objects of the spiritual reality? How do you get to know about the supreme object? Hare Krishna. This Hare, what does this Hare mean? Hare can mean so many things. In vocative, this Hare word is in the vocative case, address, calling. So it can mean Hari. Hari can be, in vocative, can be Hari. Hara, which means Lord Shiva. It can also mean Lord Shiva, I mean, like if somebody wants to identify that. That's why the Sambandha consideration is so important. Sambandha, who this name is indicating, identifying. To ask who this Hare indicates? Hara. Who is Hara? Srimati Radha. To us, this Hare is the vocative case of the name Hara, Srimati Radha. And Krishna, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because He is all attractive. He is endowed with all the features of attraction to the fullest. What are the features of attraction? The features of attraction are wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. We naturally become attracted to these features. Wealth attracts us, strength attracts us, so forth. Now Krishna has all these to the fullest extent, absolute extent. Therefore Krishna is all attractive. Somebody may not be attracted to wealth, but he is attracted to renunciation. Somebody may not be attracted to beauty, but attracted to fame. Like one must be attracted to one of these six, if not all six. And Krishna has all these six qualities to the fullest extent. Therefore, can anyone avoid being attracted by Krishna? No. Krishna is the all-attractive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-attractive. Therefore, He is Krishna. The Sanskrit words are very meaningful. In a way, like All Sanskrit words come from a stem, from some root. All the words, Sanskrit words, come from a root. And like, say, as I mentioned, Veda. Veda means knowledge. And where this Veda, word Veda, is stemming from? Stemming from Vid, which means to know. Know, Vid. And there are different pratyayas, like indicating in which way it is being addressed or expressed. Like, anyway, so how the Veda means knowledge. The word Krishna is stemming from the root Krish, means Karshan. Karshan Venu Samay Gopi. Familiar with the expression? Attracts. Karshan. So, Karshan Krishna. One who is all attractive. So this is how the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead generally indicates different qualities of the Supreme Personality. Similarly, Rama, the word Rama is stemming from the root Ram. Ramya kachi rupasana brajavatu bhagina jakumbina. Radha Ramana, Ramana. One who enjoys and gives pleasure. The supreme enjoyer and the giver of the supreme pleasure is Rama. So in this way, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is indicating the transcendental couple who are the predominating factor of the spiritual reality, Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So by chanting this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what we are doing? We are establishing our relationship with them. Therefore, those who are in ISKCON, they are not going to settle for anything less. Anything less means not even Vaikuntha, not even Ayodhya, not even Dwarka, not even Mathura. They won't settle for anything less than Vrindavan. That is the ultimate destination of the devotees of ISKCON. Their business is Goloka Vrindavan, Radha Krishna. Sometimes devotees kind of insist that, oh, you have to give me second initiation. I actually tell them, second initiation is not important. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, once you got the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he got the highest. So when he got the highest, then what's the point in getting anything less than that? If you have $5,000 in your pocket, doesn't it automatically mean that you have $1,000 in your pocket also? So when you have the Mahamantra, you have everything. But then the question may arise, then why then we have the system of second initiation? The second initiation is for the rules and regulations, to abide by the rules and regulations of the scriptures in worshipping the deity. Mainly the deity worship, which is rendered following by piti, the rules and regulations of the scripture demand, only the Brahmanas and worship the deity in the temple. But Hare Krishna Mahamantra is beyond the rights of In simple words, we can say, explain it this way, that if you achieve your perfection in chanting Gayatri Mantra, you will go to Vaikuntha. When you achieve your perfection chanting Hare Krishna Guru Mantra, where will you go? Go to Vrindavan. So where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Vrindavan or do you want to go to Vaikuntha? Those who want to go to Vaikuntha, yeah, okay. Chant Gayatri or focus on that. But those who want to go to Vrindavan, their business is to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And by achieving its perfection in chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can go to Golok Vrindavan. Or Golok Navadvip. There is no difference. Two sides of the same plane. One side is Vrindavan, where Krishna is enjoying the loving exchange with his devotees. And the other one, Navadvip, is where Krishna is distributing that love that he is enjoying with the devotees in Vrindavan. Now, enjoying and distributing, out of these two, which one is more magnanimous? Distributing. Therefore, in a way, Navadvip, actually there is no difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan. But one consideration is that those who are in Navadvip, they have access to Vrindavan. But those who are in Vrindavan, they may not have access to Navadvip. So this way, it's a better option to go to Navadvip. Because they have option to both. Navadvip as well as Vrindavan. Those who are in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they are in Vrindavan also. So, in the age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes this holy name available to anyone and everyone. Actually, this holy name, which leads to Vrindavan, is very, very rare. Access to Vrindavan is very rare. It's rare even for Lord Brahma. It's rare even for Lord Shiva. Don't get shocked when I say it's rare even for Lakshmi Devi. That is how rare this access to Vrindavan is. You know, Lord Shiva wanted to go to enter into Vrindavan. Finally, now we have access to Vrindavan as Gopeshwar Shiva. And that also he didn't have access to Rasa Dhanas. He stood there at the gate. Trespassers will be prosecuted. No trespassers. So that unqualified individuals cannot enter in. Lord Shiva is guarding the gate. Lakshmi Devi asked Narayan, please take me to your Vrindavan pastimes, Raslina. Narayan said, okay, the way to enter into Vrindavan is by following one of the residents of Vrindavan. So the gopis, just follow one of the gopis of Vrindavan. Lakshmi Devi said, I'm Lakshmi, how can I submit myself to anyone else? I'm Lakshmi, the eternal consort of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Narayan said, then for me to work with you. So Lakshmi Devi performed great austerities. Performed severe. And as a result of that, Krishna appeared to her. Krishna asked, Lakshmi Mahaprabhu has been walking about fairly sincerely and austerity. So Lakshmi Devi told him everything. So Krishna placed Lakshmi Devi on his chest as Sri Vatsa, and that is how Lakshmi Devi was entrance to Vrasa dance. Now that Krishna prema is being distributed without any consideration for qualification and eligibility. Who is doing that? Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do that. Brahmana Durlabho Prem Shavakare Chachi. The love, the transcendental loving relationship of Braj. He is going out of his way and requesting everyone to take it. What to speak of people asking for that? He doesn't even wait for that. He is going out and telling, Jare Dakhe Tare Kahe Nasute Triya Kahe Nitananda Prabhu, and distributing Krishna Prem in this way. Whoever he is seeing, in a very humble way, he is requesting, please accept his holy name, and with that price, you can buy me off. Amare Kiniya Nahu Patabhu. Kiniya Nahu means, Kena means to buy. Purchase me with the price of chanting the holy name. So this is how Nityananda Prabhu is offering Krishna prema. That's why Rupa Goswami, he is saying, Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna prema pradayata. Pradayata means distribute. He is distributing this Krishna prema without any consideration of qualification and eligibility. He is just giving it to anyone and everyone. Whether to want it or not, as you know, he is not even considering that. He is saying, take it, take it. So who is this person? See, Krishna prema that is where for Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Lakshmi Devi. Then who can distribute Krishna prema in this way? Therefore, Rupa Goswami is saying, he must be Krishna himself. Because other than Krishna, who can distribute Krishna prema in this way? Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna himself must have come in this, with this identity of Krishna Chaitanya. So this is how the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being revealed, and the importance and the glory of the holy name has been established. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed this Krishna prema only throughout India. But Mahaprabhu made a wonderful prediction. What is that prediction? How many of you know that wonderful prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, Vishnu Bhattikram.
That my name will be heard in every town.
Right. Prithivite Asidata Navarati Gram Sharvatra Prajahatam. As many towns and villages are there, Prithivite Asidata. As many towns and villages are there in this world, everywhere. To every town and village, this Krishna consciousness movement is spread. And in order to fulfill that prediction, what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself come and distribute that? He did it only to the land of India, then he went through his pastimes. But in order to fulfill that prediction, what did he do? He sent Srila Prabhupada. And it is due to Srila Prabhupada's wonderful arrangement that Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Actually, in this arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are actually three personalities, culminating ultimately to Srila Prabhupada. The first personality is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings were lost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, these two things disappeared. The dham disappeared after a flood, a big flood, and our deep got lost. And then his teachings got eclipsed by the upper sampradayas. People, unscrupulous people, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, started to promote all kinds of bogus philosophy and activity, bogus ideology and activity. So much so that there was a time when Mahaprabhu's teaching was practically lost. Like, only some Bhajanandi Vaishnavas in Vrindavan and Navati, Vaishyavadas Babaji Maharaj and Kodishadas Babaji Maharaj, they were kind of retaining, they only had this pure teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, by the activities of the other sampradayas, this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lost. And then came Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to revive the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you want to know the same, you know how the situation was at that time when Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the revival work of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. He was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he could find a single Chaitanya Charitamrita in the entire Bengal. In the whole of Bengal, there was not a single Chaitanya Charitamrita. And finally, he found it in Odisha. And of course, then he took that Chaitanya Charitamrita, wrote his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, his own commentary called The Flow of Nectar. The flow of Amrita means nectar. Prabaha means flow. And that's when he started to print the Chaitanya Charitamrita and started to distribute. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings became, teaching was revived. Otherwise, the intelligent, educated, sophisticated class of people in Bengal those days did not even want to have anything to do with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teaching, his movement. Because they thought that Mahaprabhu's movement is what the upper sampradayas were doing. They would smoke ganja, they would smoke hashish. They would have illicit relationship with the people. These are like the part of their activity, so-called spiritual activity. The part of their spiritual activities were fish eating, maybe not meat eating, but fish eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So you can only imagine what was going on at that time in the name of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naturally, the sophisticated culture people didn't want to do anything with Chaitanya. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to revive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission by printing Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, writing books, writing poetry, and he was a very sophisticated, very exalted personality. He was the deputy magistrate in the British government. Very exalted position. So people naturally started to take him seriously. He was so influential. And in this way he started the revival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But he was in a government service, so he could not do very much himself. So as you know, he prayed to Lord Jagannath. He was a deputy magistrate in Jagannath Puri at that time. He was the custodian of Jagannath Temple. He prayed to Lord Jagannath, and as a result of his prayer, who came? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually started to spread Krishna consciousness. In a way, we can consider that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave the blueprint, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur implemented it. And then, unfortunately, the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was disintegrated. It fell apart after his disappearance. Unfortunately, his leading disciples could not understand his mostly important instruction. Before he left the planet, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted them to work collectively in that institution that he created, Govinda Mission, and manage the mission, manage the institution through a governing body. But unfortunately, some of his leading disciples considered how a spiritual organization can be run by a group of managers. So we need an acharya for a spiritual organization. And they appointed an acharya, and unfortunately he fell down. And when he fell down, the structure collapsed. And already two factions started to fight over the possession of property and things. And Prabhupada said that initially they appointed one acharya, then he fell down, then everybody wanted to become an acharya. They have a small little temple and they become the founder acharya of that. Well, most of them actually continue their spiritual life in their respective temples. But the collective endeavor to spread the movement was not there. And as a result of that, preaching stopped. They have their own march, they have a few disciples, they have their show going. But that vision that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had got lost. He was thinking of, he himself spread Krishna consciousness all throughout India. Those days, about almost 90 years ago, he had 63 temples in India and one temple in Burma. He had 64 temples. So we can really imagine, I mean, what a massive movement he created at that time. But because his followers did not listen to his instruction to collectively manage the institution fell apart and preaching stopped. The only person who could actually understand Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's vision and ideology was Srila Prabhupada. And we can see from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada was always pushing, please, Let us join together. We could be Prabhupada only writing and his poems from that time, where he expressed his heartfelt concern and agony, like his time and time again was pointing out. But still now, let us come, please come back and let's work together, spread this movement of the Guru Maharaj wanted. Did he respond? When Srila Prabhupada went to America and there was some opportunity to preach there, Srila Prabhupada wrote to his lady partner and please come, let's join hands. And you come to America, Guru Maharaj wanted us to preach in America. Now the opportunity is there. So you all come. And at that time Prabhupada was even prepared to give them the leadership. And he was happy to be just serving them in that mission. No response. And that's why when all the efforts to work collectively with them failed, Srila Prabhupada decided to set up his institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we can see that Prabhupada gave the absolute importance to the institution. Prabhupada himself didn't want to take any credit. Prabhupada didn't want to put himself in the front. Even today we can see, like in India, what to speak of other countries, even in India people didn't really recognize who is behind this ISKCON movement. Gradually they are becoming aware, but common people don't even know. Like for example, in Mayapur, ISKCON temple is known as Sahib Math, meaning the temple of the Englishman. And in Vrindavan, the Angrezo Kamandi. Again, same, the temple of the Englishman. But they don't recognize that behind this movement is Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also did not care about getting any credit for himself. Prabhupada was simply concerned about fulfilling the tradition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, achieving the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Like we notice, those days in the mid-60s, many so-called spiritual leaders went from India to America. It was a big business at that time. And what we noticed that all of them named their institution or organizations according to their names. Mahesh Yogi, Bal Yogi, Chinmayananda, so many. The language was before. So they all named it, named their institution after them. But Srila Prabhupada's institution? What was the name of the institution? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was not an International Society for Bhaktivedanta Swami Consciousness or Prabhupada Consciousness. Prabhupada put Krishna in the center. And there also there was some concern when Prabhupada was registering the institution. Then the lawyer and even his followers, those who were actually going to become the trustees or office bearers of the institution, even they thought that International Society for Krishna Consciousness, actually it's not really right. It should be named as the International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada stuck to his point. He said, no, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness when they say people don't know Krishna. They know God, so let us name it in a way that they will be able to understand. What was Prabhupada's response? I have come here to make them understand that Krishna is God. So that is how determination of Prabhupada was with his mission. And we see, Prabhupada put absolute importance on the institution of ISKCON. He identified himself as a member of ISKCON, or the governing body, member of the governing body of ISKCON. This is how he gave the importance. And Prabhupada very emphatically told us not to make the same mistake that his converts made after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's disappearance. And Prabhupada said, don't make the same mistake. Manage the institution collectively through the GBC body. And we notice that Srila Prabhupada actually gave emphasis on two things. One is his position as a founder actually, and the other is the concept of collective management through the GBC. Why was that? Because these two factors are absolutely essential to hold the institution together. In order to hold the institution together, we need the head of the institution properly established. Otherwise, the institution will fall apart, as it happened in Gaudiya. Like, that's why we see that although Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did not really say much about his position in Chaitanya Mission as the founder Acharya. Although they use the expression founder Acharya, but his position was not so emphatically established. But one thing we notice, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did not say anything about how the initiation will continue after his disappearance. He gave instructions how this institution should be managed, but nothing about who will become the next Acharya or so forth. But Prabhupada did. Prabhupada made one thing very clear, that he is the founder. Naturally, nobody will doubt that Prabhupada is the founder. But Prabhupada also established emphatically that he is the Acharya, the Acharya of ISKCON Prabhupada. Which means that Srila Prabhupada is going to be the guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time. He is the founder and he is the Acharya. And all the other gurus or all the other leaders will function as his subservient, as his representative. In this respect, we can also consider, I'll consider two things here. Is why an institution so important? And the second consideration is that Srila Prabhupada's position, why it is so important to hold the institution together, we have to recognize Srila Prabhupada's unique position. So first we'll consider why an institution is essential. You see, a personality like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they are very rare. They come only once in a blue moon. Fortunately, these three personalities came practically in succession. But generally, such a personality is very, very rare. And to continue the mission, so Srila Prabhupada, we saw that Srila Prabhupada actually started his preaching started to generate success or result only when he went to America, when he was about 70, 71 years old. So Prabhupada actually started the mission at the age of 70. So when you start something at the age of 70, how much time do you think it can have? Obviously not a very long time, unless you're proper, unless you're not in Maya. Those who are in Maya, they think they live forever. They never think that they're going to die. But a spiritual person, I'll be seriously consider that. Like I'm starting a mission at the age of 70, how much time do I have? And when such a personality leaves, how the mission can continue? The mission can continue only through the collective endeavor of this followers. We have seen Govimad, although he was so successful, like why should after Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance, he just fizzled out, the preaching mission stopped practically. Why is that? Because when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, the way to continue the mission would have been to collectively work together and continue the mission. But when they failed to act collectively, although they maintained their spiritual life, but that massive preaching movement came to a halt. So that's why Prabhupada was so emphatic about the institution and the collective management, collective endeavor for the devotees to continue the mission. Consider Prabhupada's one of the last instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Your love for me will be shown by how we cooperate with each other. So see how to express Srila Prabhupada, our love for Srila Prabhupada. By achieving wicked things ourselves? No. Prabhupada himself is saying the way to express our love for him is by a collective endeavor. United in there. So we can, in a way we can see the absolute emphasis Srila Prabhupada gave in the united and collective endeavor to spread the mission. Because after Prabhupada's, like we saw in Gaudiamath, one acharya was appointed, he fell down and what a chaos. Whereas in ISKCON, so many gurus fell down. But what happened to the movement? Did the movement suffer? Damage has been caused, but the movement survived. ISKCON is still there. Why? Because of that collective consideration of managing the institution through the GBCs. The gurus may have fallen down, but the GBCs continue. Sometimes they have, GBCs also have to face different challenges. Powerful individuals, when they defected, they wanted to hurt the movement, but the GBCs stood their ground and said, okay, if you don't come up to the standard of following the four liberty principles and the other standard, then you can't be in ISKCON, no matter what it is, whoever you are. And they could do it because it's a collective body. If one individual is very strong, and if we have to face him singularly, individually, it has been very difficult. But collectively, it was possible. No matter how powerful that individual is, he is not strong enough to. Or rather, the GBC, the collective body, was stronger than the strongest individual in ISKCON. So, now I go to the second point. Like, why do we need Srila Prabhupada and the founder of Chaitanya to hold the institution together? You see, a spiritual movement or the spiritual teachings is a matter of teacher, spiritual master and disciple. Generally in India what used to happen, the guru used to have his ashram, disciples used to come and get trained there.
And then the guru would hand over the, when he would retire, he would hand over the ashram to a chosen one. And if other disciples wanted to also continue, then they would go and open their own ashrams. That was the custom, that was the culture. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada saw that in order to continue this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, we need an institution of that dimension. An institution, not a small little ashram in a small little village. We need an international organization. And a personality like Srila Prabhupada can create that organization. It is not a small ashram, it is an international society, whose activities are already spread all over the world. And no one person is going to be qualified enough to be the head. In one generation it may happen, but generation after generation it cannot happen. One person cannot be the head of the institution. It's too big for anyone. Therefore there is a need for collective consideration of management. And that's why Prabhupada did not hand over ISKCON to anybody. Prabhupada did not appoint any acharya or successor. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not appoint any successor. Prabhupada just said, manage the institution through the governing board. And that is going to be the standard. So here you can see the head of the ashram. Prabhupada's position at the head of the ashram has been established for all time. And GBCs have passed various resolutions in this respect. One such resolution is that Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON. Because naturally, it's natural. Because Srila Prabhupada's Shiksha is the very foundation of ISKCON. Prabhupada's books are the basis of this movement. So all that we teach is based on Srila Prabhupada's management through his books, through his teachings. So previously, although the guru used to hand over the ashram to chosen one. But Srila Prabhupada didn't do that. Rather, Srila Prabhupada established himself as the founder of Acharya, indicating that he will remain the head of the institution for all time. And others will function as his representatives. So, in the GBC, we have a thing called the Strategic Planning Committee, and the Strategic Planning Committee has other subcommittees. One such committee, subcommittee, is Srila Prabhupada's position committee. And after intense discussion for many, many years, eventually, this year, we have come out with a book that has been written by Dr. Sarva Prabhu after extensive research and putting all the discussions, the essence of the discussions that we had. And that is this book, Srila Prabhupada, the Founder of Acharya. How many of you have seen this book? How many of you read this book? Very good. So, now we've got the books here in Pekinamis. Just got the books in UK, in London. We are sending some to Belgium also. And these books will also be translated into various languages. And it's a... We feel very happy that finally this book has come out, establishing the ISKCON's understanding of Srila Prabhupada's position, Prabhupada's unique position as a prominent charity. And now we want to implement this understanding across the society of ISKCON. And this is how our institution, our society is going to become very, very strong. There was a time when the leading devotees who became gurus, in a way, consciously or unconsciously, they actually started to compete with Srila Prabhupada. And as a result of that, Prabhupada's position was kind of eclipsed. And it's fortunate that we detected that unfortunate development, and we try to rectify it. And in simple words, Srila Prabhupada is the head of ISKCON for all time, and everyone in ISKCON will function as Srila Prabhupada's humble servant, as Srila Prabhupada's representatives, and so forth. And then we will see how strong and powerful this movement will become, and how wonderfully, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Krishna consciousness movement will start to spread all over the world in bits and bounds. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, both in the day. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
Srila Prabhupada is described in the book as the founder of Acharya, and Rabindra Srup lists five main considerations concerning that. But he doesn't list Srila Prabhupada's books as one of the five main considerations in understanding Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya.
To me it's kind of natural. When you think of Prabhupada's teachings, you know, where is Prabhupada's teachings? Aren't the teachings in his books? I mean, sometimes, you know, when something is so obvious, probably there is no need to separately mention that. Like, I mean, who will deny that Prabhupada's teaching is the very foundation of his movement? And his teaching has been established through his books. But yeah, I agree, it's a good point. Like, we probably shouldn't. Anyway, I'll speak to him through Prabhupada. That maybe you can add that point. That his book, I mean, Prabhupada himself pointed out that his books are the basis. His books are the basis of Krishna consciousness. I mean, this comes. Thank you. Yes?
I can't help thinking about the Rishikesh movement, and I don't know so much about them, but I feel they were going closer to the idea they had, maybe. Could you help me to understand the difference and the similarities?
You see, in many ways, you know, what the Rishikesh are saying, Jesus is also saying the same thing. The only conflicting factor is that while the GBC is saying, or ISKCON is saying, that Srila Prabhupada is the most important, the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON, they are saying that Prabhupada will be the Diksha Guru of all the devotees. Now, you know, the problem actually is that, you know, the consideration of Diksha, you know, requires the person and give them up. So, you know, that's why, you know, like there is a need for somebody to give the mantra and guide the individual on a day-to-day basis, so to say. So that is, as far as I'm concerned, that's the only difference. Like, if they accept that Srila Prabhupada is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of all the devotees of ISKCON for all time, there won't be any problem. Especially Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Jaya Shri Shri Jagannath, Bhagavad Gita, Subhadra Mata, Jaya Shri Shri Gopinath. Yeah, so that is the main difference. And yeah, as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada is the most important or preeminent Shiksha Guru for all devotees of ISKCON for all times. And our line is actually Shiksha. Our line is not Diksha. Bhakti Vinod Thakur did not take Diksha from Jagannath and Bhavati. Gaurakishore Bhavati did not take Diksha from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So this lying is purely a shiksha. Even if we go beyond, Baladev Gita Bhushan did not take diksha from Vishnu Chakravarti. So it is purely a shiksha. And Srila Prabhupada is the shiksha. Yes.
Maharaj, how do you practically? Now at the moment there is this dissolved association of proper disciples who have direct association with Srila Prabhupada. But in the future, how can we do this practically, that young devotees can still have this connection with Srila Prabhupada?
A very good point. Actually, the GBCs are working on that, you know, how to tangibly make everyone understand Srila Prabhupada's preeminent position in their spiritual life. Right? So things are happening. I mean, we have been practicing in a way, but you know, we are also seeing that they haven't been implemented properly. For example, you know, when a devotee joins the movement, initially for the first 6 months, whose pranama do they chant? Prabhupada's pranama. They don't become the Diksha Guru from who they have chosen. So doesn't it indicate that Prabhupada is the personality who is, you know, the most prominent or who should be most prominent in the spiritual life? And we are considering different ideas also. Like, say for example, Jagadguru Maharaj came up with the idea that when a devotee decides or takes a vow of following the four Vedic principles, chanting 16 rounds, then he should accept Srila Prabhupada through a ceremony. You know, like just as we have for initiation, we have fire sacrifice and things, you know. They can, you know, through such a ceremony of fire sacrifice and all, you know. And these kind of things are being discussed, you know, like. And I'm sure eventually something, you know, very tangible and very substantial, you know, measure and means will be established to recognize the Prabhupada's position in our life. And the main thing is that, you know, especially the gurus have to function in a way that we are Sri Prabhupada's representative. When individuals take Diksha, our understanding should be actually they are coming to us, for us to offer them to Srila Prabhupada and engage them in His service. And I think that gradually, you see, ISKCON is a very young movement, you know, and early days devotees made mistakes because of their immaturity. Like many of the gurus, you know, who assumed the role of the Diksha Guru after Prabhupada left, after Prabhupada disappeared from our imagination. You know, their point is that we didn't know anything about how to function in the world. The only guru we knew was Srila Prabhupada. So we acted the way Prabhupada acted. But the thing is that resulted into kind of eclipsing Srila Prabhupada's position, although unconsciously. And what a big price they have to pay for that. Yes.
Speaking about your class, I have questions about something I heard some years ago by one Srila Prabhupada disciple with very good standing. He said that most of East Coast problems are coming because of Vaishnava Haradas, meaning towards other Gaudiya groups, by underestimating their contribution and maybe over-emphasizing position of Srila Prabhupada and giving certain attitudes towards Srila Prabhupada which maybe should be shared by other Acharyas. So that was
We can speculate so many things, but the reality is Srila Prabhupada wanted us to function in a united way in his school. I told you Prabhupada was so emphatic and so concerned about protecting us, our spiritual life, that Prabhupada didn't want us to go out of our temple in Mayapur and Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada saw the danger of associating, being influenced by outsiders. And especially in the early days, Prabhupada trusted some of his godbrothers, sent his disciples, and unfortunately they tried to poison them, or poison, not in that way, they tried to mislead them. Some of them even stole the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And like whatever is happening outside, we are not going out and committing on. Consciously trying to commit offense. We are simply saying that please leave us alone. Leave us alone. We are happy just being in ISKCON. But when somebody comes to steal devotees from ISKCON, then yes, we have to say, please don't do this. And if one is offended by that, you know, what can be done? Yes.
Maharaj, we're talking about Srila Prabhupada's pranamanta. And we always train from the beginning of our kirtan to sing Srila Prabhupada's pranamanta. And you did that yourself when you started. I've heard so many times there was a tendency now to start chanting Hare Krishna in front of the deities or in front of the devotees without chanting Prabhupada's pranamanta first.
That's news to me.
Really?
Yeah. Who said that?
You said it? No, devotees do it.
Huh?
Devotees do it.
No, it shouldn't be like our way. You see, the thing is, the way Srila Prabhupada established things, we should change.
So could you speak on that?
Yeah, we must first approach Srila Prabhupada, then check once you come through, and then Hare Krishna. How did you get the Hare Krishna? First, through Prabhupada's mercy. Then by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, one Sankara's mercy. And then comes the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. You know why Nityananda Prabhu punished Raghunanda Das Goswami? You know why? Because Raghunanda Das Goswami was approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Nityananda Prabhu's property. Therefore, he chastised. You are a thief. We call him a thief. Because you are stealing my property without telling me, without my permission. And that's why you see also Raghunanda Narayana could not go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many impediments. He was always being arrested and brought back to his father. But after he approached Nityananda Prabhu, this time he succeeded and he could go to Jagannath Puri and be accepted by Sri Chaitanya. So there is a way to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have a Nitai Vine Bhai Radha Krishna Paite. Without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, we cannot get Radha Krishna. others in each case of mantras. So this is a way, and we should stick to that. And the thing is, although Prabhupada did not want to be glorified himself, but it is our duty to glorify him. I love to sing Jai Prabhupada. I love to sing Hare Krishna, Prabhupada's pranamati for Hare Krishna. And that used to be the standard all the time. So anyway, if somebody does that, it should be correct. Yes?
Yeah, just continuing on from the pranamantra. When the devotees accept the pranamantra and resistance is from master and chant that, we also were always trained that we would chant that mantra and the Shiva Prabhupada's mantra all the time. So is that
that first 6 months we chant Prabhupada's pranam mantra and then Prabhupada is casted out of our life. No, Prabhupada must be there, and whoever we are approaching is helping us to get to Shiva Prabhupada. And that should be the understanding. You know, when you come to a temple, where do you get? What do we get in the temple? Shiva Prabhupada. Even temple president and preachers, what are they presenting? They all are actually presenting Shiva Prabhupada. And that's the safest way to go. Thank you. Yes?
How to know
what the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants from you? That's why you have to ask the Vaishnavas. Because you may not hear what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is saying, but the Vaishnavas can hear. And they can transmit it to you. Like for example, when you're in the temple, and you want to serve Krishna, do you go to Krishna and ask him, Krishna, what should I do for you? Or do you go to a temple president and ask, what kind of service you want to give me? Get the point? It's always better to approach to the Vahini.
In terms of karma also.
Karma, service.
Dharma.
Yeah, dharma means Krishna's instructions. Dharma, the word dharma actually means the laws given by the Supreme Person. And the ultimate dharma is to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, sarva dharma paritarjya. You know this verse from Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is telling, give up all your so-called dharma and just surrender. What does it mean? Because that is the real dharma. So surrender to Krishna is the real dharma. So have you surrendered to Krishna? Very good. Yes, you may do it.
I just wanted to listen to some statements. You already mentioned that our line is more of a Shiksha line, which is true, because from back in the Bhagavad Gita didn't have any Shiksha relationship. But sometimes, this is also an argument that some people use to put forward that your line doesn't have any Shiksha, whereas we have actually a Shiksha line from Nishananda. So if we present this most times, is it not in one sense counteracting the fact that the Prabhupada remains our teacher, because he also falls under the command of the teacher line? And just say if we consider this.
Well, best is to avoid them, those who come up with this challenging question. Right? And anyway, if you can't avoid them, and if you have to confront them, sometimes I have to also. And you know what I ask him? I don't answer directly. I tell him that did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say that Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world? They can't say no. I ask them, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that this Hare Krishna movement should spread all over the world? They can't say no. And then I ask them, and the personality who fulfilled that prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is he in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not? Mahaprabhu's most amazing, most wonderful prediction becomes a reality. Now the person who fulfills that prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is he in line with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or not? How do you determine the line? We determine the line by seeing how the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being fulfilled. That is the real line. You see, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who actually designed that parampara, I mean, who, you know, determined this parampara, we have to recognize he is not an ordinary person. He is an eternal associate of the Lord, came from the spiritual sky. So when he says that, you know, our business is to accept it, we think this is faith. And aren't we happy that Mahaprabhu's prediction is becoming a reality? Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world. And those who are real followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shouldn't they be happy that Krishna Mahaprabhu's movement is spreading all over the world? Now, instead of feeling becoming happy, if they feel sad, then it's their bad luck. Okay. Yes,
sir. Guru Maharaj, we see in Christianity that they are strongly preaching, or have been preaching, about Jesus Christ, and even fanatically. Should we become like that about Srila Prabhupada? Should this come take a similar?
You see, when you are standing on a genuine ground, then you don't really have to, you know, broadcast in that way. Like, you know, that this kind of activity, as you mentioned, is more in the mode of passion. Is generally in the mode of passion. And the thing about passion, the characteristics of passion, is that it leads to ignorance. Therefore, in Bhagavatam it is said that one should transcend the mode of passion and ignorance and come to the mode of goodness. So Krishna consciousness is founded on the mode of goodness, and then transcending even the mode of goodness is going to pure goodness, Sudha Sattva. Like, rather, you know, that's why you see what we are doing. We are not saying that we are the best, we are the best. We are saying, please read the books. Read it and see it for yourself what we have to say.
Another question, Guru Maharaj. Someone was saying that about Diksha, someone was presenting that sannyas initiation and Brahman initiation is also diksha initiation. Is that right?
Yeah, it's diksha in a way, but generally diksha means mantra diksha. Sannyas is taking a vow, stepping into another ashram, and the sannyas guru is more like a witness. Sannyas guru is not like, you know, giving the spiritual guidance as such. Generally, is more like a witness. And one gets the mantra, he gets the sannyas mantra, so that way it is diksha, because there is sannyas mantra, and the sannyas guru gives the mantra. Yes.
If it belongs to Shiksha line, why was the Diksha why was it introduced?
Okay, very good point. Why Diksha has been introduced? Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, when he gave the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, he said, Hare Krishna Mahamantra doesn't require the consideration of Diksha and purification, Purushcharya. Diksha Purushcharya Vithi Apikhanaka Jivha Sparshe Achandade Shabhavimutha. Just by coming in contact with the tongue, even the Chandal gets delivered. So, one of the reasons, one of the purposes of Diksha is to get the mantra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the mantra. Therefore, there is no need for, Diksha as such, because there is no need. Otherwise, mantra is given by the Guru to the disciple through the process of Diksha. But this does not require Diksha, because Mahaprabhu gave the mantra. But Diksha has another consideration. That is, Diksha kare shishya kare atma samarpan, shei kale Krishna tare kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, the disciple surrenders himself, and at that time Krishna surrenders. So although Diksha is not necessary for the mantra, but the Diksha is needed for the sadhana. The disciple surrenders to the representative of Krishna, Krishna. Krishna tare kare atma samarpan. So that is why Srila Prabhupada introduced the system of Diksha, even for the Mahamantra in Islam. Gauri Mata has considered this to be Diksha. They call it Kalina. According to them, the Gayatri is the Diksha. But in his proper interpretation, mainly for that purpose. So, any other question? Okay, yes, Vishnumurti.
Question of Bhagavad Gita regarding how to help future generations of devotees to actually have a strong relationship. Where I see it, Prabhupada was very successful because he learned the art to serve in separation. So he was actually very separated from the spiritual master. Physically met him very few times. And he started the worldwide mission 30 years after his spiritual master had left. And he very successfully kept the spiritual master's mood and did not opta to be separated from the spiritual, and therefore he was so qualified to do what he did. Other Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati disciples had difficulties. We see since Prabhupada left, Srila Prabhupada's disciples had difficulties. It's not easy to serve in separation. So, could you speak on how important that is, and how to help devotees be successful themselves? You're serving Shiva in separation, you're not faulted. So there must be some secrets to be able to do that. And I think that is a very important subject matter for aspiring devotees to be able to connect. And this is another issue now. We're asking devotees to connect with Shiva Prabhupada, although never ever physically meeting him. Generation, and as time goes on, Prabhupada becomes more and more a historical personality, so it's very easy to think he is a long way away. And this is not the wish wishes to consider that he's actually very present in 300 years' time, in 500 years' time. So there must be some secrets.
Shri Shri Gaurnitai
Ki Jai,
Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada
Ki Jai,
Gaur Premanandi
Ki Jai. There are
some secrets if you could share with us.
You see, you know, ultimately spiritual life is a love affair. And the love automatically demands loyalty, or the natural factor of love is loyalty. So that's why, you know, like, it is very important that we develop our loyalty to Shri Prabhupada. That means, you know, like, we are His and nothing is going to deliver us from that. And if we harbor that attitude, you know, then everything will be alright. Personally, since you suggested, you know, personally I have gone through it myself. Like, the taste was there. Like, where my loyalty is. Sometimes, you know, like, I have been, I developed some very close relationship with some brothers, especially one brother. As long as, you know, it was helping me to strengthen my relationship with Shri Prabhupada, it was alright. But a time came when I had to choose Prabhupada or Him. And in my mind it was clear, since Prabhupada is my eternal Lord and Master. So, as you say, like, you see, the mistakes due to our immaturity may happen, may take place. But the ultimate consideration is when we have committed ourselves and loyalty to that personality. And now it is extending actually to an institution of ISKCON. Like, loyalty to ISKCON. Sometimes this challenge is coming, you know. Like, you know, should, can I really continue in ISKCON? You know, there's so many, you know, so many undesirable things happening. But no, no matter whatever happens, wasn't John F. Kennedy's maiden speech was, America, with all thy faults, I love thee. So that should be our attitude. ISKCON, no matter whatever happens, we love you. And we are seeing, by Sri Krishna's arrangement, by Sri Prabhupada's arrangement, you know, problems are there, mistakes are there, but they're naturally being solved, they're naturally being corrected. And ISKCON is, you know, becoming stronger and stronger. Like, just consider today where we are. It's very, very different from where we were about 30 years ago. So who knows, you know, how ISKCON, what kind of shape ISKCON will take in another 30 years. One thing is clear, that ISKCON is here to fulfill the tradition of Sri Chaitanya every time. Like, one may question, you know, why can you be so, how can you be so confident? My answer to that is, you look at any spiritual organization, after its founder or the head leaves the planet, listen to that. Whereas in ISKCON, you know, 37 years after Sri Prabhupada's disappearance, this movement is becoming stronger and stronger. And, you know, like, with the passing of time, we are seeing, right, all kinds of amazing things are happening. In spite of our mistakes, in spite of our defects. So who knows, you know. And this is a clear indication that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fulfilling his prediction through this. Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada is a special, you know, agent. Srila Prabhupada is a special assistant who came, you know, made his prediction become a reality and established the institution to continue the mission for, we don't know for how long, at least a few thousand years. Can you imagine this for 200 years? 200 years from now? Can't really imagine.
Of course, it's very important that that the institution is actually successful because it's representing the Paramahansa. Because we do have historical reference to the Catholic Church, it actually managed to stay together and became very, very powerful. But then the question would be, do they represent Jesus? And I would like to say one thing on this. It's so important because in the Catholic Church, they do not have an obligation to represent Jesus, because Jesus did not found the Catholic Church. Whereas ISKCON was founded by Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON has an obligation to represent Srila Prabhupada for its success to be judged.
Very good point. And you see, as opposed to Christianity, you know, ISKCON has a very wonderful positive point to help to overcome those possibilities. And that is, Jesus' instructions haven't been inscribed in books, whereas Prabhupada does. Therefore, there have been so many undesirable unpleasant happenings in the Christian. Whereas in ISKCON, we don't have that possibility, because Prabhupada's instructions are inscribed in stones. And you know, it's such a, and that's, we see why Prabhupada put so much emphasis on the books, and he didn't want any addition or alteration in the books. You know, because Prabhupada's instructions are just there for thousands of years now. And in ISKCON, everybody has to follow that. He gives a Bhagavatam class that doesn't confront with Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and rather conform with Srila Prabhupada's instruction. What happens? 25 devotees in this month are here. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So, can have a little kirtan. The harmonium.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada, 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 Shri Prabhup